Half a million copies of a 1,000-page philosophical novel flew off shelves in 2009. Not a thriller, not a romance, Atlas Shrugged, Ayn Rand's dense exploration of capitalism and individualism. Why? Because Americans watched their government bail out failing banks, prop up collapsing industries, and explode spending to $4 trillion while adding more national debt than all previous presidents combined. The parallels were chilling. Rand's fictional world blamed economic ruin on greedy businessmen, while government expanded as the supposed solution. Sound familiar? This isn't just about policy disagreements or partisan squabbles. It's about something deeper, the moral foundations that determine whether a society protects freedom or suffocates it. Brooke and Watkins argue that government grows relentlessly, not because of political failures, but because Americans have accepted two powerful moral premises: that profit seekers must be controlled, the argument from greed, and that need entitles people to others' wealth, the argument from need. Until we challenge these beliefs at their root, no election, no movement, no reform will stop the tide. Remember the Tea Party? Hundreds of thousands rallied against $862 billion in stimulus spending and $66 trillion in unfunded liabilities. Like every attempt before it, the movement fizzled. The Reagan Revolution promised to check and reverse the growth of government. It didn't. The 1994 Republican takeover failed. Even with Republicans controlling all branches under Bush, spending increased 50% and federal control of education expanded. Bush justified massive bailouts by claiming he had to abandon free market principles to save the free market system. Why does this pattern repeat? Because the problem isn't political strategy, it's moral conviction. Even capitalism's defenders won't fully endorse it. Irving Kristol withheld his third cheer for capitalism because he believed it was tainted by inherent selfishness. Meanwhile, capitalist countries average $40,025 GDP per capita versus $3,926 for repressed economies. Life expectancy doubled, diseases vanished, abundance replaced scarcity. Yet this track record can't overcome one moral conviction: selfishness is evil, and capitalism celebrates selfishness. By 18, the average viewer has witnessed businessmen attempt over 10,000 murders on screen. Studies confirm businessmen appear as villains far more than heroes in popular culture. When economic problems arise, the public demands blood and show trials, not better policies. We view profit-seeking as inherently corrupt. This moral framework transforms need into political entitlement. As George W. Bush declared, when somebody hurts, government has got to move. The entitlement state now consumes over 60% of the federal budget. Since LBJ's war on poverty, over $14.3 trillion has funded means-tested welfare programs. Most claim to want a mixed economy, balancing selfishness and selflessness, yet we see persistent trends towards state control. The reason? In any conflict between self-interest and sacrifice, sacrifice wins the moral high ground. You can't defend freedom while apologizing for self-interest. Conservative columnist David Brooks exemplifies the right's moral confusion, arguing that wishing to be left alone isn't a governing doctrine, and proposing government-mandated national service where drill sergeants remind them they are nothing without the group. The right embraces the same collectivist goals as the left, merely quibbling over implementation. Milton Friedman's school vouchers don't challenge government involvement in education, they just propose a different delivery method. Republican governance reveals the problem: protectionist tariffs, massive prescription drug entitlements, increased federal control of education, and unprecedented bailouts. The 2008 financial crisis perfectly illustrates how moral premises shape interpretation. The crisis is universally portrayed as free market failure, with even Alan Greenspan admitting a flaw in his ideology. Yet examine the facts. The Federal Reserve kept interest rates artificially low. The Community Reinvestment Act forced banks to loosen credit standards. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac leveraged themselves 67.9 to 1. 8 different national regulatory authorities oversaw finance, the most regulated industry in America. Politicians blamed capitalism, not the government policies that created the distortion. The response? Dodd-Frank, one of the greatest regulatory expansions in history. The lesson learned was precisely backward. It wasn't the free market that failed, but the unfree market. Bernie Madoff's $65 billion Ponzi scheme destroyed thousands of lives, the ugly face of unrestrained greed. Yet we also label innovative producers selfish. Steve Jobs relentlessly pursued his iPhone vision despite enormous skepticism, pushing his team to achieve what engineers deemed impossible: compact operating systems on limited hardware, multi-touch screens, and affordable radiation-safe devices. Our conventional understanding presents a false choice. Sacrifice yourself for others, like Mother Teresa, or sacrifice others for yourself, like Bernie Madoff. This ignores productive traders who do neither. Business in free markets creates wealth that benefits you while gaining customers by creating value for them. Apple's profits came from devices millions voluntarily bought because they valued them more than their money. Ayn Rand reconceptualized selfishness by asking what genuinely promotes long-term rational interests. Genuine selfishness requires thinking long-range, building sustainable relationships, and creating actual value, precisely what free markets reward through voluntary trade while punishing fraud and force. Most assume morality means self-sacrifice, that you can be self-interested or moral, but not both. Aristotle argued the proper aim is eudaimonia, flourishing, and the ethical man deserves the greatest things. Christianity replaced this with an ethic of sacrifice, elevating service above individual welfare. Rand revived the Aristotelian tradition, arguing happiness requires achieving life-advancing values through rationality, using your mind to understand reality, productivity, applying reason to create wealth, and trade, win-win exchanges. Self-sacrifice means surrendering what you value for something you value less, which Rand saw as obscene. Businessmen are producers par excellence. The pyramid of ability principle shows how intellectually able producers raise everyone's living standards through innovation. Profit isn't an unnecessary markup. It's the mark of having produced something others value more than the inputs used to create it. Critics demand businesses be socially responsible instead of profit-focused. Control data exemplifies this danger. Once IBM's competitor, it built factories in poor neighborhoods and launched unprofitable agricultural projects. This social responsibility destroyed the company by diverting resources from its core business. As Hank Reardon declares in Atlas Shrugged, "I work for nothing but my own profit. I deal as equals by mutual consent to mutual advantage." America's founding contained a fatal contradiction. While the founders recognized man's political right to pursue happiness, they couldn't defend his moral right to do so. Capitalism celebrates profit-seeking. Altruism demands sacrifice. The conflict appeared early through Jefferson's free education proposal, Paine's welfare advocacy, and Franklin's view that individuals had no right to superfluous property when public welfare demanded otherwise. Defenders tried mixing altruism with selfishness, arguing you can pursue self-interest a little within limits. This mixed morality led inevitably to a mixed economy. Capitalism has lacked moral idealism since inception because defending it as noble would require challenging the morality of need and upholding rational self-interest. Only Rand's morality of rational selfishness resolves this contradiction. The long-term program requires establishing limited government based on individual rights, abolishing entitlements, ending business controls, privatizing public property, and achieving total separation of state and economics. This won't happen overnight. It may take generations. But without this vision, there are no viable short-term solutions. The battle is intellectual. Freedom requires taking responsibility for your life, learning capitalism's case and philosophical foundation, then speaking out confidently that capitalism is good. In a world that vilifies success and celebrates sacrifice, defending your right to pursue your own happiness isn't just political, it's revolutionary.